Well, good morning. Welcome to Grace Harvest Baptist Church. Excited to be here today. And I tell you, we got a little bit of weather out there. It's an exciting place to be inside right now, especially in God's house. So hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas and is looking forward to the new year. I happen to be wearing a new shirt that I got for Christmas and a tie. It's purple. And I had more women compliment me on my purple shirt today. And one of the elders said, "Mark, can you buy that in a men's store?" So anyway, I'm in my new shirt today. I hope everybody got Christmas presents that they enjoyed and got to spend time with their families and friends as we celebrated the birth of our Lord and Savior. Well, today, it's going to be exciting things going on today. Sermon will be preached to you. It will be in John chapter 4, verse 31 through 38. John chapter 4, verse 31 through 38. As we close out this year, I want us to look behind and then go forward and see what we're going to be doing next year as a body of believers, which is the same thing that we should be doing every day. And I titled the sermon, "Go Gather, Grow, Go." For those who don't know, who are visiting or not members, that is our mission statement. That is what we believe here. And that is what God laid on our heart from the very beginning of this church. So we'll be in John chapter 4, verse 31 through 38. Also today we will be doing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper as we take and partake of what that gift that God gave us so many thousand years ago when he sent Christ as a baby to live and then to die and to give that sacrifice for us. And we will remember that today. And then finally, at the very end of the service, we will have the members of the Uganda mission trip come forward, and the elders and deacons will come and lay hands on them and pray for them as we go out. And this time next week, your pastor will be in Uganda with 13 other members of this church, and we are excited about that opportunity to go. And, you know, I don't know if y'all caught it a couple weeks ago when Elder Jesse was up here, and he does the announcements, and he always likes to give everybody a hard time and kid with people. It was amazing how when Linda came back with the Ugandan women's joyous cheer, he didn't know where that was coming from. And he was getting a little bit uncomfortable up here as it got a little bit louder. And did you notice he kind of ceased and desist with that activity very quickly? So I told the ladies when they come back, for Jesse's benefit, all the ladies are going to have to give that cheer out. But be praying for us, and specifically I would ask for some prayers next week on Saturday evening for me. We will be 8 hours ahead of you here, and at 8 o'clock in the morning, I believe Brother David and I will be heading to the radio station in Uganda, the one that we support, and we'll be on the radio that morning. So I'm please be praying as the gospel is shared there as well. So, if you would stand with me, please, as we honor the reading of God's word, John chapter 4, verse 31 through 38. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." And so the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat?" And Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. And already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Father God, we thank you so much for those words and from your word. Lord, what a powerful passage this has been in the life of our church. From the very beginning, Father, this is the passage that we have stood on. And Lord, always help us to remember what you have called us to do, not only from this body, but believers all over the world. And so, Father, I pray today that your words are heard, mine are not. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Well, many of you are very familiar with this passage of Scripture, and you know this is the Lord has already spoken to the woman at the well previously. But what's going on here is this incident that we look at took place in probably December in the land of Palestine, 4 months before the spring harvest in April. Using the grain growing in the surrounding fields as an object lesson, Jesus impressed on the disciples the urgency of reaching the lost with the gospel. There was no need to wait 4 months. There was no need to wait. The spiritual fields were ready for white for harvest. The disciples had only to lift up their eyes and look, and the Samaritans coming toward them in verse 30, their white clothing forming a striking contrast against the brilliant green of the ripening grain and looking like white heads on the stalks that indicated the time was right for harvest. And although the Samaritans had not yet reached the well, Jesus knew men's hearts and who was ready for salvation, just as he had known the story of the woman at the well. In verses 16 through 18, and such supernatural insight was a manifestation of the deity of who Jesus was, the fact that he was God. And by telling disciples that the one who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, the Lord highlighted their responsibility to participate in the harvest of souls. Don't miss that. Their obligation, their duty to do what God has called them to do. Too many times, well, we sit on the sidelines and figure it's somebody else's job to do it. The preacher will do it. The elders will do it. The deacons will do it. The Sunday school teachers will do it. There's no need for us to be involved. But Jesus had a different thing in mind. He told them they would receive their wages, the rewarding joy of gathering fruit for eternity. Now, I remember, again, I was an Army brat, so I grew up on military bases throughout the world. And so there wasn't a whole lot of time for me to stay in one place. I stayed like 2 or 3 years at the most. I would stay at one place, and then we'd pack up our bags, and Dad would be stationed somewhere else, whether it was in Alabama or Maryland or Virginia or Germany. We traveled everywhere, it seemed like. But I remember one of the greatest thrills I had was I was in sixth grade, and the teachers had given us all little beans, and they wanted us to grow the beans. And I was living in Germany at the time in Frankfurt, and I remember taking this little bean, and I don't even know what kind of bean it was, tell you the truth. I couldn't tell you whether it was butter bean or whatever it was, and I planted that bean we didn't have a garden. My parents didn't garden, didn't have time for that kind of stuff, but I planted a little flower bed next to the house. And I remember going out every day, and I'd water that thing and wait for it to grow. And eventually I was so excited, the thing kind of grew, and then it kept growing, and then I had to put a string up, and my dad attached a string to the top of the roof, and I watched this bean sprout grow. And then eventually I'm looking at it, and it grew beans. And I was so excited that this little thing that I had planted actually produced something. I'd gone out, and I'd watered it, and I was worried about it, and it grew, and I'm thinking, how in the world does that happen? Well, folks, you know, we don't have the privilege all the time of watching something that we plant grow. And you as believers have that unique opportunity that Scripture says that when you plant something, you may not see the harvest of it, but you receive the benefit and the joy of that harvest. Amen? So you should be joyful when you share the gospel. People, sometimes we feel like it's a burden. Or like, well, Pastor, if I share, if I talk, these people may not listen to me. They may not care what I have to say. So what? Your job is to speak and share. I'm sure most of you have experienced it in your life. At least I hope you have. I hope you've received the joy like I have of talking to somebody, or somebody actually coming up to me after a service and saying, you know what, I want to share something with you, Pastor Mark. While I was in a ladies' Bible study, and I went through the study, and the ladies loved on me, and somebody was sharing the truth of the gospel for me, I want to tell you I received Christ this week. Well, who receives that joy? I just did, and I didn't do anything. except me right there, right? But I'm there and available. And who did all the hard work? Somebody in the ladies' Bible study class, or somebody at work, or somebody in school, or somebody in Sunday school, or your family or friends who may have planted that. Sometimes you get the benefit of sharing the gospel, going away for a while, and coming back and see that person receive Christ. You know, we talked about it here before. How many of you are praying for somebody that God has laid on your heart that's not saved? You've shared with them, and that's all you've done, and then you've not prayed with them. You know, when I see somebody come to salvation in Christ that comes down this altar or will come up to the altar, come down the aisle and share that with me, and I see people weeping out in the audience, guess what? I know those people have prayed for that person. And the people that are looking out the window and staring out the window or really don't care, they've never spent a minute in prayer for that person because they're not invested in that person. So what I would say to you, believer, as we approach the new year, start praying for those that you know that are lost. Start praying for them. Just don't say, hey, pastor, I got somebody I'd like you to pray for. You need to get involved with that. Start realizing that God is speaking to you here, that to all of us. You know, in the agricultural realm, the same farmer who sows the seed usually reaps the harvest. But that isn't the case with us spiritually. Nevertheless, he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together, for this is the case. The saying is true, one sows and another reaps, the scripture just told us. Paul reminded us in Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. Remember, it's not us that does it. It's the Lord himself who does it. Others had sowed the seed in the Samaritans' hearts, Moses, John the Baptist, and Jesus himself. Yet the disciples, get this, yet the disciples would have the privilege of sharing in the resulting harvest. Did you see that? Jesus says, look at these people. They've heard the word. They're ready to receive it. Now you go out and disciple them. Although they had played no part in sowing the seeds, Jesus sent them to reap that of which they had not labored. Others had labored and they had entered into their labor. You know, we may see that when we go to Uganda. You know, you all have been praying. I am thrilled. I have just felt so covered in prayer. I have felt so covered in prayer. I can't even begin to explain to you how at peace I am about this, how excited I am about this. And by the way, a little side note here. It's amazing to me the people who have a right attitude about what the Lord's doing and people who are really not concerned about what God's doing. And in our own family, we have seen that. We've had relatives who've told us that don't live in the area and said, you know, why are you going to Uganda? There's plenty of things you could do here. Why go there? And we, you know, you have to remind people this is what God's laid on our heart and this is what we're going to do. And yet, the twins have a very dear friend, Johnny, who's been their best friend since elementary school. And their dad is a pastor. And he was on the mission field with his wife and when Johnny was a little boy in Spain. And it's amazing how you see the contrast when you tell two different people about what you're getting ready to do. One is not excited for you. They're concerned about your safety. And you know, don't you know they boil people alive there? And they run around in little skirts. And you're in the jungle and there's lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, my, you know. And that's not the case. My own dad, the other day, he said, so, and I have to keep reminding him, he's 94, he doesn't remember all the time where we're going, and the other day, again, I was reminding him we're going to Uganda, and I told him before, and he said, well, who's going? And we told him, he goes, all the men from the house are leaving? It'll be just me and Crystal and Monet? Yes, Dad. Uh-oh. And he's sitting there thinking about those kind of things. He said, well, you know, I just don't think you should go. And I said, why not, Dad? He said, well, when I was in the service, I went to Ethiopia. I said, Dad, you went to Ethiopia in 1962. I said, the countries in Africa are a little different than they were in 1962. And then you go and talk to somebody like Johnny's dad, Pastor Hester, and he'll tell you how excited he is that you're going. The opportunity that you have to share the gospel. The opportunity that you have to see believers that live in other places. And that is the exciting thing. And as we're covered in this prayer, and you guys have been praying for these people, we're going to walk into places and talk to people, and we're going to see the joy of Christ. We're going to see people come to Christ because of your prayers. I firmly believe that. I firmly believe that. It's because of the preparation that has gone into. We just happen to be the hands and feet for you. And I'm excited about that. So today, very briefly, I'm going to go through. Today I want to talk to you about the mission statement of Grace Harvest Baptist Church. To go, to gather, to grow, and then to go again. First of all, Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ready, white for harvest." We at Grace Harvest Baptist Church are called to reach the lost. That is our mission. That is what we are to do. Everything revolves around that. We are to go. We're not to sit here and plan about going 20 years from now. We're not going to sit here and plan to do things in the future that are so far off that all of us will be dead before it happens. Our job as members of Grace Harvest Baptist Church, as believers in Jesus Christ, is to put into action what the Word tells us to do. This church has grown because of like-minded people coming together who believe in the same thing that the original members believed. You know, this church was... In 2005, the SBCV approved us to be a church plant. And in September of 2006, there were 20 people who originally signed the charter. And you know this, folks? And I wonder how many churches could say this 7 years down the road. There are 16 of those 20 members still here. 16 of those 20 members are still in this body. That is an exciting statement about those who were called. And then in 2008, God showed us in a clear way that it was time for us to cross our Jordan River, and we came into Amelia. And in January 2009, we started meeting at the high school. And in December 24th, and I never forget this, every time I walk in this building at Christmas time, especially on New Year's Eve service, and for you who are here, you remember that day, that glorious day in the life of this church. The first service we ever had in this building was on December 24th, 2012. And there was snow on the ground. It was beautiful. And you had to walk through mud to get into the church. Not a complaint from anybody. That sidewalk, that pretty sidewalk you see right now, went down like this. And the men and some of the ladies in this church, we put rock down and we put boards down just so people could walk in here for Christmas Eve service. And the place was full. I'm telling you, folks, it's God's. We've watched God's hand work in this church since day one. But it's not about us, and I want you to remember that. It's not about us. It's about God calling a group of believers together to go to share the gospel. Because if we didn't share the gospel, then all we would be another club. If we didn't get involved and do the things that we should be doing here, why bother to meet at all? Why bother to meet at all? Our job is to go. And are you going as an individual? And I'm not talking about to Uganda. I'm talking about, are you going in your daily lives believing that the fields are wide into harvest? Do you believe that? Jesus said it. He said, look out into the fields, they're wide into harvest. Don't wait for some other opportunity to go out and share your faith. What are you going? What is your 2014 going to look like as far as the harvest is concerned? Are there people in your mind already that you're thinking about that I'm going to share that I didn't share with in 2013? Not all of us are called to do the same thing. That's why 14 of us are going and not 150 of us are going to Uganda. Not everybody's called to do the same thing. But Paul said it clearly. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth, so neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. So do you understand that part of Scripture? When it's not about us, it's not because of us, it's really in spite of us. Have you ever thought about that? It's really in spite of you. Because of my best efforts sometimes, I wind up sticking my foot in my mouth. And I hate when I do that. The last thing in the world I want to do is hurt somebody's feelings or insult somebody or say something stupid. But I wind up doing it all the time. And for the most part, the people who know me, they just laugh. And those who don't know me, they look at me, this guy's an idiot. But all of us, and really when we stop and evaluate our own lives, it's in spite of us that God uses us. But here's the key. You have to be willing. You have to be willing and make yourself available by God. You can't say, okay, God, 2014 is coming up. Pastor Mark preached on that sermon on Go, Gather, Grow, Go, and I want to go. So I'm just going to sit here, come to church on Sunday mornings. I'm going to go work, go to school, go home, and you're going to help me go. No. It's going to be, okay, Pastor Mark said go. What are some, how are some things I can be ready to go? Well, if I'm a woman, I can go to the ladies' Bible studies. Starting in February, I believe, this year. Starting in February on Monday nights and on Thursday afternoons. And the men will be meeting on Saturdays and on Thursday evenings come the spring. And so I can start learning more about God's Word. I can be here for Sunday school class. You know, the elders are going to start teaching a class in the beginning of the year and a couple months down the road, maybe as soon as end of January time. Is that correct? Probably February, we're going to start teaching a class on the fundamentals of our faith. What makes us who we are? And so you got an opportunity to learn about what you come here to learn every Sunday morning. And you got a chance to ask questions. And you can always call me up if there's anything on your mind. If you have a question about something, call me and ask me. I'd love to sit down and talk with you about it. We disciple men and women in this church so that you can be equipped to go do the things God calls you to do. Don't think that you don't have the weapons necessary to go out and do the battle God called you to do. So the next point is, let's gather. So we go. Now, what are we doing when we go? We gather. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together, verse 36. So what does gathering look like? What does it look like? Personal evangelism, sharing your faith, bringing people to church events. You know, there are some people in here whose gift is just to invite people. That's their gift. They just invite people to church that so they can come and they can hear the gospel. Some of you may not have the gift of evangelism. Doesn't mean you can't share the gospel, but you're not real comfortable sitting down and having a discussion across the table from somebody and spending an hour in theological debate. That's not for everybody. But you can do this. Say, hey, you know, I noticed something different about you. There's a lot of joy in your life. Why? Well, let me share why. One of the reasons is I'm a follower of Christ. I go to this really neat church. It's a little white building. We have a great worship team. The pastor's okay. And you come, and I'm going to tell you, the truth is spoken there. I'd love for you to come and hear the truth. How hard is that? Well, the first part of that is, though, is you've got to have that joy in your life, right? People got to be able to see it. Do you walk around with a frown on your face all the time? Do people want to have what you have? That's the mark of a Christian, I think, truly believe, is when they have joy in their life, it's seen. No matter what trials and tribulations are going on in their life, they still have joy. They have fruit of the Spirit going on. Do you have that? So that's one of the things that you can do. Personal evangelism, bring people to church. You know, what's the importance of being in church? What's the importance? Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So why come to church? Well, one of the reasons you come to church is to be encouraged. The word should encourage you. Being around brothers and sisters in Christ should encourage you. That's why when you walk through these doors, you should be lifted up. Those who are not at a place where they're at a spiritual high this week, how neat is it when a brother and sister knows you well enough to walk up to you, put your arm around you, and say, hey, brother, what's going on? Sister, what's going on? There's something going on in your life. And you feel that comfortable that you can confide in that person and say, would you pray for me? What would happen if you didn't come to church? What happens if you don't have that relationship with others? You have friends and such, but you don't have the connection with them that you do with other believers. That's the joy that being in church brings. So we go, we gather, and now we grow. For in this, the saying is true. One sows and another reaps. How are we growing here at Grace Harvest? How do we grow? Well, we grow through our home groups. We grow through the youth and the children that are coming. We grow from babies. Again, how exciting is that to see our children growing up from within? But more than that, the visitors that come and have joined our church with children from all ages that are coming. The ladies' ministry. I'm excited about what God's doing here through our ladies. I tell you, they are, and I don't say this lightly, I say they are the backbone of our church. They are the quiet warriors that support this church in prayer and in ministry. You don't see them out in front as much. You don't see that. But they are humble in their service. They love the Lord and they do what they do. And I appreciate it so much. And the men's ministry as well needs to be catching up more to the women. They're a little bit behind, but we're working on getting the men more involved in the Bible studies and doing more things. And then how about personal one-on-one discipleship? That's always a very important way for us to grow in Christ. Don't ever forget that. I firmly believe that everybody needs their Paul in their life, somebody they can go to be encouraged spiritually and to grow spiritually. And every mature Christian needs a Timothy in their life. Person that they're reaching down to. You know, the Bible says for the older, the men and women, to teach the younger. There's much wisdom in our church. A lot of gray hair going on here. There's a lot of wisdom in our church. Now, you ladies cover it up, as I found out the other day from my wife. It's like, holy smoke, babe. Time to go. But anyway, I'll get in trouble for that one. But what I'm saying is there's so much wisdom in this church. People who have life experiences that young people haven't gone through yet. You know, young people, you may be in a valley and you wouldn't be surprised how many women have already been through that valley. Or men, how many men have walked through that valley already themselves. But you know that is when you've hooked up with people within the body. You can't know that if you come through the doors, come in and out, and just leave and spend 5 minutes here. You can't wait to get out the door. Folks, get involved. Be about the growth that goes on. Be about the gathering that goes on. Be about the going that goes on. And then finally, we move back to going. We've gone. We've gathered. We grow. And what's it time to do again? It's time to go again. It's never about us. You know, that's a great thing about being a Christian. You know, you can't rest on your laurels. You just can't. It doesn't matter how well we've done here or how well we've not done here last year. It doesn't matter what's gone on or what will go on. The important thing as a Christian is we never sit back and say, yep, I preached a great sermon last week, so that's it, I'm done. Or, yep, I had a great time sharing my faith. Did that once? Now that's over. What's my next list? What's the next thing on my bucket list? You know the thing about being a Christian is it never stops for you. Why do you think Paul wrote in 2 Timothy and he's writing at the end of his life and he's talking about the things that mean something to him and he says, finally, I have fought the good fight. Why? Because he never gave up the whole time. He never said, nobody ever told him, he said, Paul, you know what? You worked really hard. It's time for you to take a break. You know, buy yourself a place at the beach. Go down there. Go fishing on the. Go out there surfing, fishing, and do that, and learn how to surfboard at 75 or whatever. Nobody told them to do that, did they? Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God never gives you permission to retire from His service. I'm telling you that right now. So yeah, I'm telling you that. I don't care. You know, God may call you from your place, the place where you work now, and you may serve there 30, 40 years, and you may retire from that place, and God gives you the ability. But guess what He didn't do? As long as you've got breath in you and you've got life in you, you're still His, and you're still called to do His work. That's why I always tell people have worth. I don't care if you're 95 years old or if you're a baby just out of the womb, you have worth to God. And God help us when we look at old people and we think their worth is done. When we think they're of no value anymore. Because they still have value. Every one of us who belongs to God, definitely has value, but every life has value. Every life. And it's our job to go back out. I sent you to reap that for which you had not labored. Others have labored and have not entered into theirs. So when we get back to going, it's repeating what we talked about with new believers. It's about church membership. It's about service. It's about doing for others. It's being the 1 Corinthians 13 believer. It's loving when it's not popular to love. You know, anybody can love when somebody loves you. That's the easy part. It's real easy when you look into that special person's eyes and you look at them and you're like, ooh, I love that feeling. You feel all googly, right? And it's like, wow, this is awesome. And they look at you and you, if you took pictures, I wish somebody had just taken pictures of me looking at Kathy back when I was 15 years old. I probably looked really stupid. But anyway, that's the in love look. You know, you think about, well, that's easy to love somebody who loves you. What's marriage look like 30 years down the road when you're not as beautiful and as handsome as you were when you were 25? Or your wife may have a terminal illness. Or she might be in a wheelchair. Or your husband may have lost his mind. Is the love still there? That's the 1 Corinthians 13 love. That's loving without conditions. You know, when people stand on the front of me, right here where that podium is, right in front of that cross, and I say to you, do you promise to love them sickness and in health? I always think, do they mean it? Do they mean what they're saying before God? Or do they just love each other because they feel in love right now? So be that 1 Corinthians 13 Christian and be that Romans 12 Christian. It's about putting others above ourselves. It's about getting outside of our little boxes because you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. You know, one of the reasons I'm so excited about going to Uganda this time is because last time Mark's box was about this big. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to go to Uganda. I'm going to go to a third world country for the first time in my life. I'm going to step outside a box. Okay, here we go, God. But I'm going to keep one foot in it because I don't trust Dave and Linda. I love them, but I don't trust them. Well, guess what God's done to me? He's taken that box, and it's out there. It's out there because I've learned over the years of being a pastor what it means to trust God and not myself. And so as you enter into this new year coming up, I pray for you that you remember to go, to gather, to grow, and to go. But I pray that God moves you out of your box so that you can serve him with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, in order, friend, I'm going to talk to you first, who are here today and you don't know Jesus as Savior. You've heard about God. You know about him. You may have grown up in church all your life. But as you approach this new year, you really never, ever surrender to God. You know, it's not about a relationship as much as it is about you surrendering all of you to God and recognizing that you're a sinner. What does that mean? What does it mean to say, I'm a sinner? Well, basically what it means is God says you're missing the mark when you're a sinner. God has his standards, and he says, I am a holy God, and to be with me, you have to be holy. And guess what, Mark? You can't be holy because you're a sinner. You constantly miss the mark. But friend, let me tell you what God did. He sent his son to take your place on a cross. In other words, God sent his lamb, the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. The blood that was sacrificed, the pure blood of God's only son. And he said that blood will cover your sins, friend. And what he says to you and to I and to every other person who's ever received Jesus as Savior, and he may be calling you today, is saying to you, I want you to be mine. Surrender it all. Surrender your desires, your wants, all of that. Confess your sin to me, your God, is what Jesus is saying to you. Submit to me. Surrender it all. Repent. Turn away from that sin. Acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you will be saved. So, dear one, if God is working on in your life and he's calling you, you come. When the invitation is given, when I stand in front of the altar right here, you come and you grab this preacher's hand and you share with me that that's what God's doing in your life right now. Some of you, God is calling you out from a place of where you're at right now. He's saying, this is the place I want you to be a member. This is the place I want you to grow. This is the place I want you to go, gather, grow, and go, and to serve. If God's calling you for church membership, you come. If God's calling you for believers' baptism, you've never followed the Lord in baptism, and you want to start off the new year being obedient to what God calls you to do, then you come and you share. Now, to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I say this to you. Has 2013, as it closes, does it look like a year that you're very pleased with as far as your spiritual life goes? And if you can't say that, no, I've made progress from the previous year, then I would ask you sincerely now, right in your seats, to confess to the Lord, God, help me to be yours. Help me to have that fire in my belly as I did once before to serve you and to love you and to love others. Let that be your pledge for the new year. However God's working in your heart, the altar will be open. I will be available for prayer up front. You come as God leads. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you, Father, that you're a God who loves us, that shows us such grace and such mercy, that you would leave the throne of glory to walk with us and to die for us. Father, I pray your will would be done here today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You come as the Lord leads.